Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We are talking about the resurrection today. Let's see, what'd you say, Donna? What's in your wallet? And then she said, what's in your tomb? I like that. So we're going to talk about what's in your tomb today a little bit. Talking about the resurrection, right? And all over America, all over the world, people are celebrating this. And, you know, it's something because I think this is a time where we don't just celebrate the resurrection. We need to educate about the resurrection. You see that? And that's important to understand that because, my goodness, this changed the world. And it changes you. I need to know, what does the resurrection not just mean about Jesus being on the cross? And I need to know, what's it mean for me? Right? And that's what we need to know. We need to know, what does the resurrection mean for me? And I'll tell you, once you understand that, you'll never be the same. There's no way you can stay the same and understand what the resurrection is all about. And so we're going to try to help you understand a few things today. God is good. And so I just want to start off with this idea. The word resurrection is a Greek word. I know, I like Greek words. You don't have to have Greek to understand the Bible. It was written in Greek and Hebrew. But I'm a word nerd, so I'm always looking at words. The word resurrection literally means to stand up straight again. Did you catch that? Because we've all fallen. Everybody's fallen. Back in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell from grace, God had a plan. And His plan was this resurrection. So we could stand. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
And see, when you understand that, nothing's going to hold you down. Nothing's going to bury your life. You see, now pay attention. What happens is we get in a state of something that was meant to be a stage. We go through a very difficult time. That was a stage. But it becomes a state. And it holds us back from everything God has for us. We get our feelings hurt. Somebody leaves us. We have a death in the family. A loss of a loved one. Financial struggle. What was meant to be a stage becomes a state. And it keeps you from everything God has for you in life. Did you get that?
Amen.
That's important to understand that. You see that? When you understand that, everything's just a stage. And what it will do, if you don't get beyond that stage and it becomes a state, you're in a wilderness and God had a promised land for you.
Yep.
He wants you to live in the promised land.
That's right.
And become everything He put you here for.
Yep.
And you can't do that if you don't understand the resurrection. We're going to talk about that today. We're glad you're here. And like I said, I think it's a time we need to try to help educate people and remove some obstacles so they can begin to understand what is going on with the Bible and your life. Because see, God sent His Word to heal us of all our sin. And the Bible is His Word. It was written by 40 people moved by the Holy Spirit. So it has 40 people who documented only one author. One author. Are you listening to me? That's the Holy Spirit. So there's one author, and there's only one way. His name is Jesus.
That's right.
He's the author of this thing.
Amen.
And this is why there's not many ways. One way. One way. So if people try to tell you there's many ways to get to God other than Jesus, you better shut that off and find you a place where you can begin to understand the scriptures and receive Christ, because he's the one that helps you understand.
Amen.
So that's the whole idea. You could be falling apart. Jesus helps you put your life back together.
Right.
Everything can be falling apart. We talk around here, we say, well, we're not going to fall apart like a $2 suitcase. Because God upholds you. He holds your life together.
Hallelujah.
It literally says that in Colossians chapter 1. It says he all things are held together in him. So he holds your life together. That's what this is about. Understanding the resurrection. Because when you understand it, you'll never be the same. Now think about this. You know, you heard Good Friday, right? That was just this Friday. All over the world, everybody's talking about Good Friday. Pay attention. Good Friday was not named Good Friday until after the resurrection. So it wasn't anything good about it till the resurrection came true. What's good about death on a cross and all that goes with that? But when the resurrection took place, it became Good Friday.
Amen.
You see, what you gain in resurrection far outweighs and is much greater than what you lose in crucifixion. And crucifixion represents what you give up. And God shows you something better. And you receive that. And then you begin to walk in his will and his ways. You see that? That's what God wants. He wants you to walk in his will. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is his will and testament to you and me. See that? You know, like your parents leave a will. They write. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But if they did, they wrote it out. That's what the Bible is. It's God's will written to you. We're supposed to do his will in order to receive what it has and promises that we have. So we got to learn and grow about that, grow in that. Now, it's sure good to see you guys today. Aren't you happy? Listen, we got so much to be happy about. So much. All right. Let's go to Luke 24, 17. And I'll give you a little bit of a backstory here. And he said to them, now listen, he's talking to Cleopas, one of the disciples. And there was another disciple with him, but his name wasn't mentioned. But this is one of the 70. It's not one of the 12, it's one of the 70. He's talking to them. This is post-resurrection. This is post-resurrection. This is after the resurrection. So he's already gone. He's already died on the cross, buried, went and took the keys from the devil, and come back. And now he's on the road to Emmaus, and they bump into him. You paying attention? This is important to understand. Now watch. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? See, they were sad because they thought what was supposed to be the Messiah, we don't know where he's at.
Right.
And he's right in front of them.
Right.
Sometimes you know he can be right in front of you and you don't know who
That's
he is.
Right.
This is significant. Now look. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they were moaning and they were upset about the Messiah not being there. And then he's asking them, what things? What are you talking about? Jesus is telling them, getting them to explain to him what things. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. He's standing right there. Now look. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. That word condemned, sentenced to death, and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And he was already doing it. Now look. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. Jesus was expounding to them the scriptures, meaning the Old Testament, Moses and all the prophets. You see that? Now, he expounded. The word expounded means to explain. He was explaining to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. See? That's what he wants to do. He wants to teach you and me about him. And when you receive him and you invite him in your life, he begins to explain the scriptures to you.
Amen.
You see, when you can't understand the scriptures without having him in you, helping you. Because, see, listen to me. We're born into this world spiritually dead. It says in Ephesians, we were once dead in our sins and trespasses, but now we've been made alive. That's the resurrection.
Amen.
You need to understand the resurrection. When we understand that, now the scriptures are going to begin to make sense. You're going to read the Bible, it's going to come off the pages sometimes. This thing's alive. You see that? I remember when I got saved and I picked up the Bible, I was in the living room by myself watching a TV, and there's some guy, Ben Kenshaw, led me to Christ right there in my living room. I was going through problems, and he said, you need to be born again. And some guy at work gave me a Bible, and I had a quart of beer. I was going to drink my beer and read my Bible. But I got down on my knees, and I gave my heart to Christ right there. I went over, and I picked up that Bible, and my eyes went on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
With all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil, for it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
Amen.
I said, this thing is alive. And I went and I wrote all that I just quoted to you. I wrote it down. Nobody told me to, I just did. Then I went to work the next day and tried to get everybody to trust in the Lord with all your heart. I knew I had changed. Jesus reveals the scriptures to you. Now look. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. He's reminding them. I was still with you that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Every prophecy has been fulfilled. Everything. All the prophecies in the Old Testament. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, it says, just as God has spoken to us in the past through the prophets of old, he has spoken to us in these last days through his son Jesus.
Amen.
Whom he has appointed heir over all things, and through whom also he created the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholds all things by the word of his power.
Praise
you see,
God.
He upholds you because you understand the resurrection. You straight up.
Right.
But it's him holding you up.
That's right.
Because you understand.
Yeah.
What did he say? And he, Jesus, opened their understanding. That's what Jesus does. He opens your understanding. When he is in you and you're receiving God's word, he begins to help you understand. It's like I used to pick up the Bible. I just didn't understand it until I got saved. And when I started reading it, I started understanding it. He opened their understanding. The word understanding also means mind. It literally means mind. He opened their mind. You see that? And your mind is part of your soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. So Jesus opened their mind to the scriptures. See, the scriptures have every answer you're looking for in life to give you direction and protection.
Right.
So you can fulfill his will while you live in here.
Yeah.
So your children can fulfill his will while you're living here. You see that? I'm convinced the majority of mental illness in our world today is still one of the biggest problems, is what I'm talking about right here. People don't understand. Because when you really understand, you're going to make sure your children understand.
Right. Amen.
You got to sit down and you got to take time and teach them.
Right.
And they know it. And they know that you are doing the right thing. And when you put it in their heart, you can tell. They'll know. They know it's the right thing. They may act up in a minute, but you stay at it.
Right.
You keep putting it in there. You know, Thursday's Monday, Thursday. I picked up my grandson, and we went and played miniature golf. And he always likes to eat at Chick-fil-A. So we go to the Chick-fil-A at Miller Lane. And I pulled in the parking lot. And I said, now, Finley, let's just go in there and start. He goes, what do you mean go in there? He goes, Papa, you've always went through the drive-thru. And then we went across the street in the parking lot. And we back in and pull the seat back and we'd talk. He goes, that's what I want to do. He's about to be 14. I said, you know what? That's what we're going to do. I backed up. I went way back, and the long line was out till, you know, out there, Jupiter or whatever. But I mean, it was a long line. So we waited in the line, went through, and then we went across the street, backed up in the parking lot, pushed the seats back, and we were eating and talking. I said, Finley, you know why this is, what's tomorrow is Good Friday? I said, you know why it's called good? He thought for a moment, no. Why is it called good? I said, well, they crucified Christ. He goes, well, why is it called good? I said, because it wasn't called good till after the resurrection.
Right.
He goes, oh, that's good, Papa. I've never heard that. But you see, I'm putting seeds in his heart. And he was wanting it. Then we played golf and we did all that. And we talked. Then I had to take him to his tennis lesson. Took him to his tennis lesson. And I said, oh, you're not playing a game today, are you? You're just having a lesson. He said, yeah, I'm just having a lesson today. And I said, well, I get out of the car. I said, I'm going to go in. He goes, well, you know, I'm just taking a lesson today. I said, well, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to hug you right in front of everybody. He goes, oh, Papa. And then he runs and gives me a big hug. And I mean, squeezes me good. You know what I mean? And he says, I love you, Papa. Oh.
Amen.
I felt it.
Right.
Not just his hug. I felt the presence of God. Am I making sense? We need to take those moments and put that in their heart. Folks, I'm telling you, this is huge. And when you teach them and they understand, They're going to get to church.
Right.
They're going to be where this word is going forth and the scriptures are being expounded and extrapolated and revelation is coming out because it's going to help them in life.
Sure will.
If your life is falling apart because you're not looking in the scriptures. God has a design for your life.
Right.
Jesus told the Sadducees in Matthew 22:29, and they were doubting the resurrection. They says there is no resurrection. The Sadducees said that. That's why they were sad, you see. Because they didn't have any power in their life. And Jesus told them in Matthew 22:29, you're mistaken by not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. You see, when you begin to grow and understand, there's a power. He says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That power is the resurrection power.
That's right.
Now listen, this is huge. The word power means ability. Ability. Responsibility. God gives you the power to take responsibility.
Yep.
Now you can respond to situations in life his way and not your way. And now it becomes a good thing. You can't control everything that happens to you. You can only control how you respond to what happens to you. And when you respond his way, he's bringing a resurrection. Come on now. All right. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now look at this. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew or homiletics or hermeneutics to know the scriptures. But you must know Jesus.
Yeah.
You cannot know the scriptures without knowing Jesus. He said he taught them the scriptures about himself. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to teach you. He's going to teach me. You need a pastor because the Bible says this in Ephesians 4. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry.
Amen.
Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man to a perfect man. You see that? We need gifts and we're calling. There's a calling on my life. There's a calling on pastors' lives. Well, and a pastor's just a shepherd. The only way I can do that is because Jesus is in me, opening my eyes like he's doing yours.
Right.
I can't take you anywhere I haven't been. You see that? This is significant. And you don't have to go to seminary to understand the Bible. You can understand it if he's in you. He opens your understanding. I like that. Because see, when you understand, it says in Proverbs that understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. So you go his way and you get his results in your life. Now look. God wants you to look at the Bible through the lens of grace and mercy and truth. And that's what he does. He's grace, mercy, and truth. And he's going to help you see the Bible in a whole different way. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But even if our gospel, what's the word gospel? Good news. It's good news. It's not good advice. See, good news means it's already happened. When you watch the news, you're watching something that's already taken place. When you share news with others, it's something that's already happened. This has all happened already. I'm sharing stuff with you today that's already happened. And that's why we got to understand it. It's not good advice. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now look at this. But even if our gospel is veiled, the word veiled is covered to those who are perishing. Now watch, give me this next one. Whose minds, your mind, I used to think my mind was my brain. Your mind is not your brain. Your mind is a part of your soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind is what the Holy Spirit wants to renew. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now look, this is talking about, look here, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Think about this. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The little g. You know who that God is? That's the devil. And he blinds the minds of people who have not had the light of the gospel unveiled upon them. So in other words, there are people all over the world who are spiritually blinded. You work with people who are spiritually blinded. You see this? So here's the idea. Let's say you go into Sydney. Go into Sydney down there on a Saturday. You know, they have that market thing going, and all them farmers come in, and there's people everywhere. Then you see a man walking with a long stick, white stick. He's just tapping the concrete, and he's walking. He's blind. Now, you don't make fun of him, do you? You don't mock him, do you? You don't bump into him and ask him why he bumped into you. You don't criticize him. You don't judge him. You have compassion for him. You have empathy for him. You see that? Because they're blind. They can't see. That's what we do. We shouldn't knock the world and criticize the world.
Nope.
They can't see.
Right.
We're here
to
help them.
That's right.
You see, when you understand, it changes everything. You see that? Changes your response. I don't care what they say, your response will change. Because you know you're here to help them see. You see that? And that's why it's so important. It talks about in 1 John 5:18, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But God has sent his son, Jesus, to give us an understanding that we may know him who is true.
Yeah.
And we are in him who is true, in his son, Jesus.
Amen.
For this is the true God and eternal life.
Yeah.
You see that? When you have him in you and you know it, and you're walking with him, you know you have eternal life.
Right.
You know where you're going. You know who you are.
Yep.
You know how you got here.
That's right.
You start to be secure and stable.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how it is. He's your creator. When you're in touch with your source, he's not a resource. He's the source of life.
That's right.
He gives you the answers you're looking for.
Yeah.
With power. Are we making sense? The only reason we can see if you're a believer is because you've accepted Jesus. It says in John 1:12, see, we're all born in sin. That's why we need to be born again. Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again to see the kingdom.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.